Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Former Sabres birthday is still to come later in the show. Marty, you got any Sabre-related news today?
Yeah, it's just announced that the Team USA will be hosting a orientation camp leading up to the Olympics next week, August 26th and 27th in Plymouth, Michigan. And Alex Tuck and Tage Thompson are part of the 25 forwards that will be going to this orientation camp. So that's good. Now, I'm happy for Alex Tuck. I knew Tage Thompson was going to be there. I think this is great for Alex Tuck. Pat Kane will be there as well. A little, Buffalo connection. The Tkachuk's brothers. There's
no Caulfield. Matthew's not going to be there.
Well, they are on the list.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, because they already announced like some players, right? I don't even remember.
Is any of this surprising? Let me just say this. Well, you were surprised about something, weren't you?
I was surprised about one thing because the four goaltenders that have been announced to be taking place in the orientation camp, which, look, it doesn't mean that those are the only four that they can pick from.
Correct.
But you got Connor Hellebuck, you got Jake Ottinger, and you got Jeremy Swayman. Three guys that were part of the Four Nations Faceoff Team USA last year. But the fourth guy that I thought should have been part of the conversation but was injured last year was Thatcher Demko. He is not part of the orientation camp. They are adding Joey Decord, which is interesting because Joey Decord, nobody knew if he was Canadian, American, Swiss. Remember like last year before the Four Nations Faceoff when Canada was looking at their goalies and saying,
yeah,
who do we have? There was a thought of Joey Decord, me being able to play for Team Canada, but he didn't have a passport, so he couldn't do it. So
right. It was Key's phone, wallet, passport, and no one could find Joey's. So we didn't know where to assign him from a nationality.
Somehow the NHL, the NHLPA had maybe not set the rules when it comes to which team or nations you can play for. So then it came that, well, you have to have a passport from that country. Mm. And Joey Decord technically is American, but he does have, his mom is Canadian, I believe, and he's also got Swiss nationality, so he could have played for anybody, really.
Well, fill me in when we find out how we decide on which nations get to compete in all these things, because I'm still a little miffed at the limit.
Well, Pierre-Edouard Belmar is going to be there, so that's all I care about with the French team. So that's
the great. Many nations event coming up in 2026, known as the Olympics. There will undoubtedly be Devils involved. The Devils are the team of the day. The Devils have Sheldon Keefe as their head coach. Yep. Jeremy Colliton was on the bench last year. Sergei Brelin gets adopted by every coaching staff in the history of the Devils heretofore because he's an amazing, lifelong New Jersey Devil. No matter where they need him, Brelin is available. He's an awesome dude. Everybody loved playing with him in their championship years, and he has remained a fixture in the organization on the bench. But Brad Shaw has been added as an assistant this year, and sometimes we talk about, okay, well, what can this assistant coach bring? And especially, you know, you're not talking about inexperience here. Sheldon Keefe knows his way around all of this. But it's not like Shaw is coming in to fix the power play or the penalty kill. The Devils were number three on the power play last year. Mm-hmm. Like less than a percent from number one. They were number two on the penalty kill.
Yeah.
They are absolutely elite right now on special teams. That being said, Shaw coming in, other changes sprinkled through the roster, 91 points last year. Higher or lower for the Devils this year?
I'm going to say higher. I think that team, if staying healthy, is a really good team. You look at, you mentioned Brad Shaw. He was an associate coach with the Philadelphia Flyers and took over after John Tortorella was shown the door last year, but he has been around the National Hockey League as a coach since, you know, he actually was an assistant in 99-2000 with Tampa, stayed around for a long time and has been with teams, and he's got the experience. So he's coming in.
I look at Brad as like, not that he's that far removed from the game and he's an analyst now. I look at him as the modern day Rick Bonus.
I look at him as Terry Murray.
Okay.
Remember, like, Terry Murray, more of an assistant, but could come in as a head coach if you have to associate. I had Terry Murray as an assistant coach in Philly. He was here with the Sabres. Like, I think that's the guy. But you're right. Rick Bowness, like a lifer, played.
More games behind a bench than anyone in the history of the game.
Absolutely. So I think Bradshaw is going to be an asset for them. But I look at the Devils roster, if staying healthy. That top line, we talked about Jesper Bratt, right, when the NHL Network did their top wingers, and he was really high on the list. And Jesper Bratt had a fantastic season, 88 points last year.
He's had four of them in a row.
Yeah, he's been very consistent. Jack Hughes, if healthy, he's the number one center. Mm-hmm. Nico Hischier, if healthy, had 35 goals last year as a number two center. So you're like, hey, this with Timo Meier, who's adding a little bit of, you know, muscle and strength. And we mentioned Stefan Nason earlier with some physicality. Then you got Dawson Mercer. You got Cody Glass. I mean, Paul Cotter's there. Connor Brown, they added. I feel like they have a very deep, not just on the defense, but forward group. The top end is productive, but they have a lot of that sand and, you know, sandpaper or whatever, like at the bottom, that definitely can put the Devils back in the 100-point column if everybody stays healthy.
What do you think, Connor Brown, and maybe to a lesser extent, even though he did score 20 last year only to have it all fall off at the end, what do you think Connor Brown and Evgeny Dodonov can actually bring to this group?
Well, that's exactly what I said, the depth, right? Like, if right now, if you look at the projected lineup, I can't see Dodonov breaking in the top six. So he's a bottom
top six. I can't even get him in the top 12.
It's again, yes. I was being very, very generous when I said top six. I think Evgeny Dodonov goes in and is a top 12, but I think he's a fourth line guy. But now if you end up with Paul Cotter and Cody Glass and Evgeny Dodonov on the fourth line, it's like, hey, that's pretty good fourth line right there.
My jury is still out on Glass, and I've tried to give him as much runway as humanly possible, but I don't know. I'm just not sure how that's going to play out here with the Devils. So
yeah, but I mean, Dawson Mercer, the jury's still out on him as well. Like, what are you, Dawson Mercer? Like, I love the guy. I love the player. I think there's a lot there.
Well, he maxed out 3 years ago, and he hasn't hit it since. So, but he's also...
He was a Prospect Challenge alumnus, right? He was there with the Devils at the Prospect Challenge. We got to see him.
He pushed almost towards 30 goals. So everything was being read as we saw it from the end of his junior career to his launch into pro. But he's been much talked about. Obviously, every team's got some tough contracts as they pertain to, bang for your buck. I think Palat falls into that category now.
Yes.
Although they don't really necessarily... I hate saying it because obviously there were questions for their lack of offense at the end of last year without Hughes. But I think the way they're constructed, they don't need Palat to be like a 20 to 25 goal scorer. I think they actually have some of the best contracts in hockey. Nico Hischier, their captain, has 2 years remaining, including this one, at just over $7 million. In the last 4 years, he's top 50 in NHL scoring. Jesper Bratt has 6 years remaining on his deal. I think it's ridiculously good. I think it's laughable to think of what the talk was when they were trying to sign the deal, whether they were going to move on from Bratt in the last 4 years. He's 21st in points, tied with Sasha Barkov. He's one assist behind Barkov in that stretch.
Yep.
They have Jack Hughes and Timo Meier. Timo Meier since 2017-18, top 30 in the NHL in goals. He's not a playmaker. He's not likely to get close to 80 points.
He's not flashy either, but he gets it done.
He's a goal scorer.
Meat and potatoes.
And then there's Jack Hughes. He's got 5 years remaining. Again, by comparison to today's market value, incredibly good deal. In the last 4 years, he's 12th in the NHL in points per game. However, and you can imagine the 11 ahead of him, he is 357th in games played over the last 4 years.
Now, it's funny because you mentioned the salary for Jack Hughes. He's making $8 million, and he's making that for a while. Quinn Hughes is $785. It's interesting to me that in 3 years from now, well, Quinn will probably sign again in 3 years from now, and they'll be making most. But Jack will be the less paid Hughes brother. It's going to be Quinn, Luke, and Jack. And Jack will probably be the one that is the best player out of the three. Although Quinn uses, you know, a top three Norris every year. But yeah, I think it's interesting that Luke and Quinn are going to make way more than Jack's $8 million in 3 years from now.
Can you name, in reverse order, starting with the current man behind the bench, the last five coaches for the New Jersey Devils?
Well, Sheldon Keefe, Travis Green, Lindy Ruff.
Mm-hmm.
Lindy took over from...
an interim.
Alain Nasreddine.
Alain Nasreddine, and who preceded him?
Pete DeBoer.
No, oh my God.
Oh, I'm going too far. Okay,
wait. You went too far.
But I got the one. I got the Alain Nasreddine. So because I know Naz, played against him in junior. So
John Hines.
John Hines.
Yes, but Hines was preceded by, and this is one of my favorite little hockey reference quirks. Hines was preceded by N Bench that went 2019-7 after Pete DeBoer was let go.
Well, you know what that is?
They didn't name anybody. It's just the New Jersey bench.
It was Adam Oates and Scott Stevens that were like the the co-coach after Pete DeBoer was let go. But yes, N Bench. Is it Nicholas? Is it Nathan? Nathan Bench. We'll call him Nathan Bench.
It actually has a link on Hockey Reference. And it just takes you to NJD Bench.
New Jersey Devils bench.
I love that they shortened it to N Bench. Anyway.
Hey, let me ask you this. Sheldon Keefe.
Yes, sir.
Toronto Maple Leafs for a bunch of years. Last season, 91 points was his lowest point percentage season ever. Like, with the Leafs, he always had better point percentage and better points, you know, year after year after year after year. But this was his biggest challenge, a new team. Mm-hmm. And I think he was fantastic behind the bench. So coming off the playoff lack of success in Toronto, although they got ousted in five games by the Carolina Hurricanes, but two of those games went to double OT and whatnot. Like, I still think Sheldon Keefe did a fantastic job in New Jersey getting them to where they are now.
Well, my curiosity with Keefe and his hopes and, you know, identity that he wants for this team lie in the basic numbers. You mentioned where New Jersey was able to get to last year defensively, which was fifth overall. Mm-hmm. Well, they're 2.68. I mean, 2 years ago when they had 112 points, they were 2.71. So nothing really has changed there. Like, they're capable. The biggest drop-off from that 112-point season under Lindy Ruff is they scored 3.5 goals per game then. They have since gone to 3.2 and now down to 2.9. And to me, that doesn't jive with all of the great upfront players that we just talked about and the potential for more from their blue line.
With a third-ranked power play. They dropped to 2.9 with a third-ranked power play.
Doesn't make sense, right?
Sabres fans, here is the key, right? Again, I look at the Devils, and I'm like, what is the difference if you take the numbers from the Sabres compared to the Devils? Mm-hmm. Is that the Devils got way better. They got top five better in goals against per game, which makes a big difference. They were 8th combined in goals save above expectation. Markstrom was 30th, Allen was 9th. Combined together, they were 8 in the NHL. I know it doesn't make sense, but that's how it goes. Mm-hmm. But that's the difference. So if the Sabres this year were to drop like 0.4 goals per game, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just put it that way. They drop almost a half a goal per game, but they get that much better defensively. There's your hope. There's your hope of where you can go. Because teams that we talked about, Ottawa, Ullmark making saves, Montreal, Montembeau making saves, now New Jersey, Markstrom and Allen making saves. That's what gets you consistent winning or consistent point getting to get to 90-plus points. That's the key. That's the key for the Devils. They dropped in scoring, but they're still a playoff team because their defense got better.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they needed every ounce of their special teams to get them in. And so being top three in both is remarkable, but they, to a lesser extent than the LA Kings, would just like a different first-round matchup. They have been ousted by Carolina each of their last two visits to the playoffs and are 1-5 all-time against Carolina in the postseason. The Devils and Sabres met for the only time in the postseason in 1994, Game 6 at the Odd, Dave Hannon, the quadruple overtime winner. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, a still-depleted Sabres squad went into New Jersey for Game 7. They were outshot 46-18. Hasek did everything he could. They lost 2-1. Claude Lemieux had the winner, and the late Dale Hawerchuk had a glorious chance with less than 20 seconds left to tie the game. It didn't happen, and that's the only time they've ever met. It was the beginnings of an incredible era for both Hasek and Brodeur, you know, and I always think we talk a lot about the fine line of success and a lack thereof. That was Game 7, Buffalo, New Jersey. Devils would go on that year to get to Game 7 against the Rangers and lose in overtime. Yeah. The Rangers win the Cup. The Devils win the Cup the next year. Their first of three in a dominant era. Everything is that close so often.
Marty Brodeur, the Calder Trophy winner that year, I believe.
The year before that, right?
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. But, yeah, Marty,
I believe,
Scotty Stevens, Ken Dynico, it was the start of the that era.
Yep.
That the Devils were dominant. And, you know, so you got them beating the Dallas Stars in 2000 after the Dallas Stars had beaten the Sabres in 99. Mm-hmm. Jason Arnott in overtime on Ed Belfour. But they had already solidified their place in the late 90s hockey with Jacques Lemaire behind the bench. And, you know, before that, it was Pat Burns. And, you know, they were a marquee organization, definitely in that time.
You were right. 93-94 was Brodeur's rookie year. He got the Calder that season.
He got the Calder that year.
We're back after this.
With his DNR pads, Duffer.
Sabre,
DNR.
Sabre birthdays, not related to DNR. Next on Sabres Live.